From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, January 4th, 2019. And on this day, the partial federal government shutdown causing some headaches around Maine. Should gubernatorial pardons be more transparent? That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light, now through December 31st. MaineGardens.org.
Earlier this week, we reported that former Republican Governor Paula Page had pardoned a former GOP state legislator, Jeffrey Pierce, for a 35-year-old drug trafficking conviction. Pierce confirmed that he had received clemency for the felony conviction. But if he hadn't acknowledged the pardon, there's a good chance it would have remained a secret because of a state law passed last year. Now, Governor Janet Mills says she's reviewing that law to see if pardons and commutations should be made public again. Steve Missler reports.
Pierce's pardon made headlines because he's a former lawmaker who was under investigation by the Maine Warden Service for hunting with firearms, despite his felony conviction. LePage pardoned more than 100 people in the 7 years before the new privacy law took effect. According to public records, 50 people sought hearings before the state clemency board just last year. What's not known are their identities, or how many of them were granted pardons.
The act made information disclosing that a person had received a pardon confidential.
John Pelletier is chairman of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission, an independent board that reviews and proposes changes to Maine's criminal laws. He says pardons were meant to be private in Maine, and the law enacted last year was designed to clear up an inconsistency which only partially shielded those seeking clemency. Pelletier compared it to being charged with a crime and getting acquitted.
When someone has been charged with a crime, if they're acquitted, then the fact that they were charged becomes confidential. And a pardon acts in a similar way. So someone has been convicted, the conviction is public, but if the governor gives them a pardon, then the fact that they were charged and convicted becomes confidential.
Private pardons make Maine an outlier compared to other states, where governors release the names of people who receive clemency or commutations. In states where pardons are kept private, there have been controversies. Last year, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo refused to identify the names of 140 people he pardoned, arguing that disclosing their identities would deprive them of a second chance, or in some cases, subject them to deportation by immigration authorities. But critics argue that concealing pardons raises questions about transparency and accountability, potentially leading to suspicions that some people receive clemency as a personal or political favor. Those concerns prompted South Dakota to change its 20-year-old confidential pardon law in 2003, and Governor Janet Mills says she's considering a similar change to Maine's new private pardon law. Mills wasn't available for an interview, but a spokesman said in a statement that she generally believes that the public has a right to know about pardons granted by her or other governors. But not all Democrats are in agreement on the issue.
Shame isn't the tool we should be using.
Democratic State Representative Charlotte Warren co-chairs the legislature's Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee.
People deserve second chances. And when the governor is saying, you've done your time and I'm going to pardon you or shorten your sentence through another process, you know, that's saying you've paid your debt to society.
But there could be complications to keeping pardons private as a way of advancing restorative justice. For one, Maine law requires people granted hearings by the governor's pardon board to purchase legal notices. So their request, which includes their prior conviction, is public. But their pardon could remain private. And in the case of a simple internet search, a person's arrest or conviction may be well documented, but not so their pardon if it's shielded by law. And that could have happened to Pierce, the former state representative. His criminal record was exposed during his unsuccessful bid for re-election, but his pardon remained a secret until he revealed it to Maine Public Radio. Also, Maine's pardon law is unlike other states and that it actually doesn't expunge a conviction. It just makes it confidential. Depending on how the state's new governor comes down on the issue, Maine could soon rejoin the majority of states that make gubernatorial pardons and commutations public. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
As the partial federal government shutdown heads into its third week, it's causing some headaches around Maine, if not widespread disruption, yet. Fred Bever reports.
The gates at Acadia National Park will remain open this weekend, a contrast to the last federal shutdown in the fall of 2013.
And I think it reflects the political heat that they got and the bad publicity that they got from the public saying, I can't believe I can't access my park.
David MacDonald is president of the nonprofit Friends of Acadia. He says most of the park's year-round staff of nearly 100 has been furloughed, with the exception of law enforcement. Park attendance is relatively low this time of year, he adds, but planning for new transportation initiatives and other activities essential to Acadia's future are on hold.
And I think it reflects the political heat that they got and the bad publicity that they got from the public saying, I can't believe I can't access my park. And so they've changed the guidance and they've put park staff in a very difficult position, saying, yes, they're open to the public, but, you know, we're only giving you skeleton crews to support the public and protect the resource.
I lost $85,000 in 15 days in 2013 because of that shutdown.
State Senator Mike Carpenter runs a horse and buggy concession at Acadia. He called on his colleagues in Augusta this week to prepare for economic dislocations this time around as well.
And as we go about our business today, small businesses will be going bankrupt today, tomorrow, and the next day, as long as the shutdown goes on, because a lot of small businesses do depend on proximity to governmental facilities or contracts with governmental entities.
And simple lack of access to government services is creating pockets of unhappiness around Maine. Some real estate deals are hanging fire because government loans or federally backed flood insurance documents or IRS approvals can't be completed. In Hancock, Leslie Harlow's efforts to reopen a fish smoking operation this week have been stymied. Sullivan Harbor Farm Smokehouse, she says, recently got a needed inspection from the Food and Drug Administration. It went well, she says, and she was expecting a final approval this week.
And now with their shutdown and the uncertainty of how much time this is going to be, we're sitting in limbo. And I have employees that don't have work, and I have fish suppliers that are sitting on the side wondering when I can be back in business and work with them. And I'm sure that the FDA inspectors that I work with, who are quite reasonable, are sitting around on their furlough just as frustrated as I am.
Back at Acadia, wintertime users are bracing for a snowstorm that's brewing for next week. At that point, the gates could indeed be closed, because if the shutdown is still on, there will be no workers to plow the roads. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Governor Janet Mills' inauguration this week showcased a variety of Maine artists. Yet, a performance by a pair of fifth graders from Portland's Reike Elementary School stole the show and swept social media. Robbie Feinberg tells us how they wound up on stage.
10-year-old Shai Paca and 11-year-old Natalia Badu looked a bit nervous as they took the stage on Wednesday night to perform at the inauguration of Governor Janet Mills. But as soon as they began to belt out the chorus of Alicia Keys' anthem, Girl on Fire, the crowd at the Augusta Civic Center erupted, with Mills dancing and cheering the two girls on from behind. Social media exploded, with Mainers sharing the performance across Twitter and Facebook. For Paca and Badu, the experience was unforgettable, too. Badu came to Maine from Angola 3 years ago. Paca, meanwhile, says she only arrived in the United States last April from Namibia. Both loved to sing, and in their new country, they joined a vocal group at the Boys and Girls Club of Portland. That's where the governor met Paca while touring the club last summer, according to a release from the Mills campaign. After hearing the duo sing, the governor asked them to perform at her inauguration. Badu says up until Wednesday night, she was racked with worry until she saw the governor.
I was pretty nervous the whole way through, But when I saw her, it changed the whole thing, and I was very excited.
And Paca says it was empowering to perform a song that recognizes the achievement of women while celebrating the inauguration of Maine's first woman governor.
And performing that song made me feel like I can become anything I want. Doesn't matter what the world what the world's gonna say, I don't care about the world. I will just do what I want to do and follow my dreams.
And that was the reassuring message they got back from thousands of people at the Civic Center and beyond. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
Maine U.S. Senator Susan Collins is urging fellow senators to end the partial government shutdown. Mal Leary reports she hopes lawmakers will take the time to work out a compromise with President Trump that touches on border security and some pieces of immigration reform.
Senator Collins says she's urging passage of the six appropriations bills that have already been negotiated between the House and Senate that would resolve most of the partial government shutdown. She's proposing a continuation of the funding at current levels for the Department of Homeland Security to allow a compromise measure that would address Trump's demand for more money for border security, and the issue of a path to citizenship for those brought illegally into the United States by their parents. She says Congress needs to move forward because the shutdown is interfering with consideration of other important issues. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Florida's incoming governor is appointing former Maine Health and Human Services Commissioner Mary Mayhew to run the state agency that oversees Medicaid. Governor-elect Ron DeSantis announced today that he's appointing Mayhew as Secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration. Mayhew is leaving the Trump administration. Mayhew was placed in charge of the federal Medicaid program just 3 months ago. Mayhew had worked as Commissioner of Maine's Department and Health and Human Services for 7 years, but then mounted an unsuccessful bid for governor last year. She came in third during the Republican primary. During her time in Maine, Mayhew was a strong opponent of expanding Medicaid as allowed under the Affordable Care Act. Maine also reinstated work requirements for food stamp recipients and drug testing of some welfare recipients during her time as commissioner. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Friday, January 4th, 2019. Thanks to Jennifer Mitchell, Keith Shortall, Mark Simpson, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.